Greetings and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. Today we are beginning the study of the second segment of Masechet Nezikin called Bava Metzia, which picks up really where we left off at the end of Bava Kama with issues of claims and counterclaims. The first chapter of Masechet Bava Metzia will deal chiefly with issues of claims about avedot, about lost items that are found by people, and different forms of acquisition of avedot that will be valid, which will lead to a significant tangent towards the end of the parak about different shtarot that may be found and under what conditions they may be returned and to whom they are returned. But we'll go from where we always go, which is at the beginning. The first two mishnayot of the first parak are grouped together on Daf Bet Amud Aleph, and here we go. Shnaim ochazin betalit. If two men are together holding, come into the Beit Din, they're holding a garment together. Zeh omer ani mitzatia, vezeh omer ani mitzatia. Each says, I found it, indicating it's an avedah. Zeh omer kula sheli, vezeh omer kula sheli. And now we have to parse it and wonder whether this is part of the same conversation. One says, I found it and it's all mine, and the other says the same thing. Or whether it's two different cases, two parallel cases, one of competing claims of claiming an avedah, or of competing claims of purchase. We'll see that dealt with right away in the Gemara. Each one claims all of it. In the end, they're going to split it. So what we do is we have them take an oath that they own no less than half, so that their oath will be consistent with what plays out. And then they indeed split it. Zelmer kulashli v'zelmer chetziashli. If one claims all of it is mine, the other claims half is yours but half is mine, then homer kulashli, the one who claims it's all mine, shavashenu b'pachot mishlosha chalakim, has taken oath that he owns no less, even though he claims all of it, he owns no less than 3/4. V'omer chetziashli, and the one who says half is mine, yishavashenu b'pachot mirvia, he has taken oath that he owns no less than 1/4. Now let's see why they are going to divide that way. Zeno tells Tosha Halakim, Vizeno tell Revia. The first one gets 3/4, the other gets 1/4. Let's see why. The answer is quite simple. One half of it, there's no dispute about. A, everybody agrees, owns half. There's a dispute about the second half. So B gets half of that, which is 1/4. A gets the other half, which is another 1/4. He already has a half, so he has 3/4, and B has 1/4. Now, the second Mishnah. Hayu shnayim rochvin al gabei behema. If two people were riding together on an animal, Oshaya achad rochev achad manhig, or one was riding and one was leading the animal. Zeomer kula sheli, vezeomer kula sheli. Again, zeishava shalom pachot michetzi, vezeishava shalom michetzia, viachloku. The same deals we had in the Mishnah. What this seems to be teaching us is that riding or leading are equal claims of possession. Now, bizman shemodim, and this applies to both Mishnayot, and that's why even though normally we only read the part of the Mishnah that's going to be dealt with in our Gemara, since the end of Mishnah Bet reflects back on everything, we're doing the whole thing. Bizman shemodim o sheyesh lahen edim, in a situation where the two parties agree on the division, or they have edim to substantiate their claim, chokim b'lo shvua, they divide without the oath. Which tells us that the oath is really a fix in case we can't get them to agree, nor is there any better testimony as to who owns things. We'll see what the source of that oath is very, very soon. Now, the piece that we're going to do today is essentially two parts. Part one is the Gemara will analyze the language of the Mishnah, try to figure why the Mishnah seems to be presenting two different cases, in Mitzatia and Kula Sheli. The second piece is the Gemara is going to go through three different opinions of Tanaim and suggest that our Mishnah could not be consistent with their opinions, meaning they would not subscribe to the rule of our Mishnah, and then in each case suggest why nonetheless they might. Okay, why do I need the double claims in our Mishnah? Lit nichara, let it just say one. So the answer is charaktani. That's how you should read it. Zelman and satiyav kulashali. Zelman and satiyav kulashali. I don't think the Gemara here is suggesting that our version of the Mishnah is corrupted. What it means is that's how you should understand the Mishnah. that when each one comes and says ani mitzatiha, what he means is kula shali, and kula shali is the result, meaning that there's a claim of what happened, and there's a result of ownership. But it's all one claim. So velitni ani mitzatiha, so why doesn't the Mishnah just give the first part, which is ani mitzatiha, v'ani adana de kula shali? We understand if a guy says, I found it, it means it's all mine. So the answer the Gemara gives takes us to a sugya at the end of the Masachet about the issue of Ri'iya Kona Behefker, or Habata Behefker Kani. Itani Ani Mitzatiha, if we had only taught Ani Mitzatiha, and we understand that this is a valid claim because we're enforcing a Shvuah and we're dividing it, Haviyamena, my Mitzatiha Ri'itiha, I would have thought that Mitzatiha means, I saw it, I found it, meaning like in the colloquial, I saw it. Afagav Zolatoi Liadeh, even though he never got it in his hands, Bria Ba'al Makani, just seeing it would be enough. That's the mistake that we would think. In other words, the guy would say, I saw it first, I found it first. And that seeing it, pointing to it, and saying it's mine would be enough of a claim. Tana Kula Shali, therefore, the Mishnah adds in a second half of the claim. Remember, we're operating on the notion that there is one single claim. But that it bolsters it by saying Kula Shali to tell us that he really took a proper kinyan to Bria Lokani. So it's teaching us Derach Agav, as a secondary piece, that looking at something alone is not a kinyan. And by the way, in that take, the entire Mishnah is about an Avedah. It's not about anything besides an Avedah, because if there's no way that Habata or Ri'iyah would be a valid kinyan in something that belongs to somebody else. Seeing it in somebody else's yard, saying that's mine. That's of course nothing. The only place where it'd be valid is Hefker, in the case of a Metziah. Okay. So if that's the case, the question is, how could you possibly suggest that the word mitzatia means ri'itiha? How could you possibly suggest that the verb memtzadi aleph, to find, translates as to see? V'amaravnoi mitzata, and this is something we saw quite a bit in Bava Kamma, mitzata, when we talk about the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, it's the only pasuk on our page, da'atoy li'adei mashma. Mitzata means it came into your hands, not that you saw it. The liability for taking care of an avedah and returning it to the masters when it's in your hands. So, you're right. Umetzata dekra da'atliya de mashma. The Gemara here immediately cuts to an important issue of the nature of language. Biblical Hebrew is not the same as rabbinic Hebrew or colloquial Hebrew of the Mishnaic period. In biblical Hebrew, umetzata means you hold it. You have it in your hands. Limitso means to find it and to take possession of it. However, our Tana is using the regular colloquial Hebrew. Just like when a person finds something, the minute he sees it, he says, I found it, mitzatiya. Even if he didn't get it in his hands. We would think, that if we only had the word ani mitzatiya, we would think, yeah, the way a person says ani mitzatiya, and it means that it's a valid claim because he saw it. That's what we would think. Tani kula shali d'riya ba'al malokani la. Therefore, we have a second half of the same claim, kula shali, to tell me that mitzatiya is never enough of a claim. Now, v'litni kula shali v'lo ba'ya ni mitzatiya, so flip it. Why don't we make the Mishnah easier and just have the Mishnah say kula shali and not have any mitzatiya? So the answer is itani kula shali havemena ba'al madiktani mitzatiya b'riya ba'al makani. So now we have the other deficiency. This is an opportunity to teach us what mitzatiya means. Mitzatiya is only a valid claim if it's accompanied by I picked it up, not I saw it. And so therefore we have kula shali along with mitzatiya to tell you that mitzatiya alone, meaning ri'iya, is not enough. B'riya ba'al makani tani ta'an mitzatiya v'hada tani kula shali Here, Mishnah Yeteira doesn't mean an extra Mishnah, it means an extra phrase. The extra phrase, ani mitzatiya, is that it tell you that mitzatiya always is accompanied by kula shali, it's a full claim. So all of that is the first approach, which maintains that our Mishnah is dealing with one single claim, ani mitzatiya v'kula shali, and the reason it used both phrases is to tell you what mitzatiya properly means, which is to actually take possession and not just to see it. Question is, will that approach stand a test? How could you possibly say that there's a single claim? It says Zeomer and Zeomer, and then Vzeomer Vzeomer. Second of all, Vzeomer and Satiya, Vzeomer and Satiya, Zeomer Kulash, etc. It's presented as two separate claims. So we have another interpretation, which is Reisha b'mitzia v'seif mekach u'memkar. Mitzatia mitzatia is one claim, where both of them come and say, it's an aveda, I found it, I took possession. And the other one is kula shali, meaning each one comes in saying, I bought it. It was up for sale, and I'm the one who bought it. Alright, now, utzricha. So now, then the question comes, why do we need to teach the same lesson in two different cases, which should be parallel, which is competing claims over ownership of the same thing? The answer is you need them. Why? Di tana mitzia, if I only had ani mitzatia, havi amen, I would have thought that mitzia hu derabba rabbanon shvua ale. It's only in the case of mitzia that the rabbanon enforced a shvua. Why? Shum demori v'yamar, because the guy who found it, who's the liar, who found it second, or who didn't find it, who caught a ride on it when the other guy found it and said, oh, I'm going to go to Beit Din and claim some of it, is going to rationalize. He might not be a terrible guy. He might just rationalize for himself and say, Chavroi lav midi chaser, but the other guy didn't lose anything. He found something. You know what, I'll grab on. I didn't find it. He found it first. He picked it up. I'm going to grab and claim I found it first. I'll come to Beit Din and I'll split it. I'll get half of it. And he won't lose anything. But I would not have known to apply that to Mecca Chumemkar, where the person has something to lose. A good guy is not going to do that. A good guy may rationalize that with an Avedah. V'eat on a Mecca Chumemkar, and if I only had Mecca Chumemkar, who the Rama Rabbanan Shvua le, again, I would think the Rabbanan only applied a Shvua there because Shum de Mori Velmar. Again, Mori means he's rationalizing, he's instructing for himself, he's passing for himself, and saying, Chavroi Dami Ke Yahiv, Vana Dami Ke Yahivna. You know what? He's willing to pay money. I'm willing to pay money too. Hashtad etzricha ledidi ashkaleana. I need it. And of course, personal thing. My needs are greater. I need it. I'll take it. V'chavroi lazily litrach lisbin. Let the other guy go and find another one. I'm willing to pay money. Av mitzia de lekel memrachi. In the case of mitzia, you can't argue that because you can't buy a mitzia. Emalo tzricha. Therefore, I need both. Now, parenthetically, mekach memkar v'lachzi zuzi mamman nakat. Why don't we just see who actually paid? Then we can solve it. Go ask the seller. The answer is, lo tzricha danaka mitavayu. It's a case where the seller got money from both. Michad midaate, u michad bal korche. One of them shoved the money at him, the other, he agreed to take it from him. And the seller himself doesn't remember who shoved the money at him and who he agreed with. There are two guys there, and when he's agreed with one, and the two ends of money, and then the two guys ran off to the Beit Din, both grabbing the thing. All right, there we go. Now, as I said, the second part of this is three different Tanaim with famous opinions on the issue and a suggestion that they could not be the authors of our Mishnah or subscribe to our Mishnah, and then an accommodation with that. First of all, Leman Intin Loka Ben Nanas. Ben Nanas, famously in a Mishnah that we're going to get back to at the end of this podcast, in Masechet Shvuot, in which there is a conflict where a Bal Habayit tells the Chenvani, to instead of pay, he's not going to pay his worker, he's going to tell the Chenvani, you give something to the worker, and the Bal Habayit claims that he sends the money ahead. The Chenvani then gives something to, claims that he said he gave stuff to the worker. The worker says that he never got the money, and the Bal Habayit ends up, each one of them takes an oath and extracts money from the Bal Habayit. But Nanas is opposed to that because he says the following, Ketzad elu v'elu b'ayin l'idei shvuat shav. We know that one of them is a liar. Either the Bal Habayit did give the money or didn't give the money. So we know that one of them is a liar, and we're not going to enforce a situation where two people take an oath that's mutually exclusive, which means one of them is lying. So the answer is no. Afilatem Bananas. You know what? Bananas could agree with our Mishnah. Hatam vada ika shvuat shav. In the case in Shvuot, one of them is certainly lying. Hacha ikalamemer deleka shvuachav. Here it's possible that they're not. Emer tavayu bahadei adadi agbuwa. At least in the case of Mitzia, it could be that they both picked it up together, and each one is just claiming priority. But it could be that nobody's really lying here. So therefore, we can enforce the shvua. So Benanas could live with our Mishnah. Leman itin loka sumchus. If you recall from the fourth parak of Baba Kama, sumchus was of the opinion that moman hamuta basofik cholkin. If you have the para that gored, and then after it gored, we found it had a baby. We didn't know if the baby was born before or after. And therefore, we don't know whether or not the baby should be included in the tam, that's mishtalim migufo, in the payment for the damages. And so the rule of the Rabbanan is, you want to get money out of it, you got to prove that it was born earlier, and that it was really part of the parah that was damaging, as an example. Somchos says no. Mamon amuta b'safek cholkin. Anytime the mamon it's safek cholkin, in that case he would pay a quarter of it from the vlad. Cholkin below shvua, but without a shvua. So therefore, Somchos and our Mishnah should say mamon amuta b'safek cholkin below shvua. There should be no oath. Ve'ela mai rabbanan. So you think that our Mishnah is rabbanan of Somchos, which means, by the way, that's everybody now. They're the ones who say, which should mean that whoever's got the strongest hold on this garment should be the guy to get it. So, hi, Mai, let's examine it. If you accept it, our Mishnah's Rabbanan. So, hatam de lo tafsi tavayu, in a case with the para where neither one of them has a hold on it, the vlad is just a question mark when it was born. Rabbanan sechal avaraya. Therefore, you have to bring a raya that it was born earlier or later. Hachra tavayu tafsi, but here where they're both holding on to it, so the solution is, let them split b'shvua. Ela yamar tzumchus, but if you claim tzumchus zar mishnah, think about this. Hashtomatam dvo tafsi tavayum. Over there, with the para where neither one of them is holding on to the vlad, cholkin b'lo shvua. So hachar tavayu tafsi la kol shekein. Lo kol shekein. Here, where they're both holding on to it, certainly they should be able to split without a shvua, because they have, each one has a greater hold on his half. The answer is, afilu tema tzumchus. Maybe Sumchus's ruling of Mamon Amuta B'Safek Cholkin B'lo Shvua is where neither one really knows. Each one says maybe the par was born, maybe the vlad was born earlier, maybe it was born later, but nobody's claiming I know what it was. Aval Bari Bari Lo Amar. Maybe when each one is giving a sure claim, we really need a Shvua to kind of break that down and identify the liar. Well, the Rabba Barbar Avuna de Amar Sumchus Afilu Bar Yobari. But according to Ravuna, who says that Sumchus applies his principle of Mamon Amuta B'Safek, even Chokin, Belo Shvua, even when both claims are Bari, my Ikala Meimar, then how will you answer it? How will you fit Sumchus into our Mishnah, which we're trying to do? The answer is you could still do it. Afilu Tema Sumchus. Ki Amar Sumchus Echadika Dwar de Mamona. When did Sumchus say Chokin Belo Shvua? Where each guy has a financial loss here. Here in our case of a Metzia, nobody's losing anything if he doesn't get the full part. Lo, but wait a second, that's the opposite. Each guy has some financial holding here in the para case. And it's possible to say that the whole thing belongs in this direction and in that direction. Nonetheless, Amar Sumchus Mamon Amuta B'Safek Cholkin B'lo Shvua. He says, nonetheless, you split without a Shvua. Hachad Leikar Dror De Mamona. Here, there isn't necessarily financial loss. Dikol Memer Tavayuhi. It's possible that it belongs to both of them. Lo Kol Shekin. So certainly there should be no Shvua. So Sumchus really could not enforce his Shvua here if he doesn't enforce it there. The answer is you're reading the Shvua wrong. Afilu Tema Sumchus. Shvua Zumi De Rabbanani. This is not a classic case of the kind of shvua that he puts in for, that he would put in for a claim. This is a special shvua d'rabbanan because of these kind of cases. Kid Rabbi Yochanan. Te'am Rabbi Yochanan. Shvua zu takanat chachamim hi. This shvua is a specific rabbinic ordinance. Shaloyhei kol achad v'chad holech v'tokei v'talito shachaviro. We don't want somebody to come up and just grab somebody else's item. V'omer shalihu and say it's mine. And then come to Beit Din and split it. We want to have the oath, that the oath will separate out the liars. Of course, if we have somebody we know lies under oath and he can't, and the other, Chikonegdo, takes the oath, etc., and that solves it also. Okay, the last Tana, who we're going to suggest, is Leimat Nitalok Reb Yosi. Reb Yosi, in the third parak, in Amafgid, says the following. A person is a shomer. One person gave him 100 zoos, the other gave him 200 zoos. And he doesn't remember who gave what. And now each one of them comes and says, I'm the guy who gave 200 zoos. So the Rabbanan solution is you give 100 to each guy, and the other 100 wait until Ad She'avo Eliyahu, which means that the other 100 wait until one of them breaks down, essentially, and says, okay, it's not mine. Now, Rabbi Yossi was the opinion of saying no, because then the Ramoi doesn't lose anything. The liar doesn't lose anything. He might get the 200 if the other guy breaks down. For some reason, the other guy says, I've had it, walks away, and he won't lose his 100. So Rabbi Yossi says the whole 300 sits and waits. That'll really weed out the liar. The Ik Rabbi Yossi Amar Imkein Ma'ifsid Ramai Alakol Yemunachat Shevo Eliyahu. So we think that according to that, Rabbi Yossi would say in our Mishnah, let the Talis sit there and nobody gets it until whoever's lying admits that he's lying. Elamai Rabbanan, so you think that our Mishnah is Rabbanan? The Rabbanan also said that the third hundred doesn't get split. Kevin Damar Rabbanan Hashayim Unachat Shevo Eliyahu, they said that the third hundred, the disputed hundred, sits. Hanami Kishar Dami, that's like the, what's left. So that's like our case. So even Rabbanan of Rabbi Yossi should say in our case that we don't split it, but we rather let it sit. So hi, Mai, let's think about it. Iyamar Pishtma Rabbanan, if you accept that our Mishnah is the Rabbanan of Rabbi Yossi, Hatam Devadai Hai Manet Achad Minayuhu, in the case in Hamafgid, where that third hundred certainly belongs to only one of them. I'm Rabbanan Imunachat Shevoi Eliyahu. There they said, nobody can get it. Hachad Ikal Memet Havayu here, but here again, there's the possibility that they both really own this talus. I'm Rabban and Paul give a shvua. Then, therefore, they said, take a shvua and split. Eliyamart Rabbi Yossi, but if you think that our Mishnah is consistent with Rabbi Yossi, then think about this. Hashto Ma'atam Devada Ika Manalamar Ika Manalamar. In the case of the Mafkid, where certainly one mana belongs to each guy. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yossi Minachat Shevoli, he says, nonetheless, you can't have it. Hachadika, remember the Chad Minayuhu, here in our case, where it's possible that, and it's likely that this talus only belongs to one guy, Lo Kol Shekein, certainly it should not be given to anybody. Because it's possible that a guy who has absolutely no rights to it is gonna get some. The answer is no. Filatim Rabbi Yossi, again, our Mishnah Kabir Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara is being very inclusive here. Hatam Vada Ika Ramoy. In the case in Hamafki, there's certainly a liar. Hacha Miyemer Deik Ramoy. But in our case, who says there's a lawyer? Again, this possibility we keep raising. Maybe they both picked it up together, and maybe they both really are owners, and nobody's a liar. The other possibility is that Rabbi Yossi perhaps enforced a knas, that the withholding the essential hundred that each person owns is a knas against the Ramoy, so to force him to admit it. Here, the Ramoy doesn't lose anything. Because if he never owned anything, and he comes and says, that it's his, he's not going to lose anything if they keep it in Beit Din. Only the real owner is going to lose. Now, so Terech Metzia Mekach Memkar Meikol Memar, but that's only true about a Metzia. When it comes to Mekach Memkar, he does have something to lose. So the Mechvar Teket Hashanim Meikar, we have to go back to our original answer, which is to say that that. In our case, it's different because it's possible that they really both own it. Bein the Rabbanan, bein the Rabbi Yossi, hatam gabe chenvani al pinkaso. We go back to the case of bananas that we had. Diktani zenish pavan hotel, bezenish pavan hotel. Maishtan delo amrina nafkin mamona mibala bayit. Vehemunachat shevoi leau. In the case that I mentioned earlier, where both the sachir and the chenvani say they didn't get their money, and we take the money from the bala bayit and pay both of them, why don't we say to take the money? Because one of them is lying and let it sit. Tavvadai ikra amoi. The answer is Amri Hatam Hainu Tama. There's a different reason there. Tamar lechenvani lebalabait. The chenvani says, Anash tichut edrach kavdina. I did what you told me. I gave him food. Ma'itli gabe sachir. I don't have to deal with him. Afal gav dekamishtavali lo mehemen li bishvua. Right. Even though he takes an oath to me that he didn't get the money, I don't believe him. I did the thing. I paid him. Atimante, you believed him. Delo amartli besadi havli. You didn't have aid in there. To say, give it to him. You trusted him. For Sachir Nami Amar, then the Sachir will say the same thing, Balabait. Ana Avdi Avita Gabach, I worked for you. Ma'idli Gabe Chenvani, why do I have to deal with the storekeeper? Havagavdi Mishtabali, he takes an oath that he gave me food. Lo Mahemali, I don't trust him. Hakachtava Mishtabi Vishakli Malabait. Therefore, each one of them, because we look at the relationship between the Balabait and his worker, and the Balabait and the Chenvani as independent relationships, and in each case, the claim against the Balabait is a valid claim. And so therefore he has to pay out in both cases, and we don't take that money and put it, in the fund. However, in the two cases that we're dealing with, both ours and the one with the 300, the 100, 100, and the third 100, there is certainly a mutually exclusive claims that run up directly against each other. Okay, we'll pause at this point, and, we're gonna get to the famous case of Rabbi Chiya, Mona de Rabbi Chiya, and in the next podcast. In the meantime, welcome to Masachet Bava Metzia. It's good to be started on a new Masachet. Everyone should have a wonderful day.